We'll turn in God's Word today to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2, we've got just a short reading today from verses 11 through 18, and then we'll concentrate our attention on verses 11 through 13. Let's hear God's Word, Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen. We'll end our reading there in Ephesians 2:18. Let's once again ask for God's help in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we rejoice before you today for your mercies, for your kindness, for the greatness of your love revealed to us in the gospel. We thank you that we have been brought near, given access by the blood of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would help us to take full advantage of that. And now, as we come to hear your word, Father, may it not just be an academic exercise or a weekly habit, but may it truly be an occasion when we come into the presence of our God, when we hear the voice of Christ from your word. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Paul begins this little paragraph that we're going to consider today by giving us two words that are important. There's the word therefore, and that tells you that he's basing this on what he's already said. The truth that we were dead in trespasses and sins, the truth that God in mercy and love made us alive, the truth that God created us anew again in Christ Jesus for good works. On the basis of all of that, now Paul has a command, an instruction, something he wants us to do. And this is the only command, this is the only imperative in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3. In chapters 4 and following, Paul will give you a lot of commands, a lot of specific do this, don't do that. But in the first three chapters, there's only one thing he calls upon us to do. And it's in that word, remember. Remember. What does Paul want us to remember? And why does he want us to remember it? Well, that's the basics of the sermon. We'll look at that as we go through. But let me take a step back, because we need to think about what remembering means. So let's take a few steps back and approach it from a different angle. Here's a question for the kids. Why do you have feet? Why do you have hands? Why do you have ears? Why do you have eyes? There's two ways to answer those questions. There's the way where you say, well, this is what they do. Why do you have feet? Well, so you can walk. Why do you have hands? So you can do stuff. Why do you have eyes so you can see? Why do you have ears so you can hear? That's the function. That's what those appendages enable you to do. Those parts. Appendages is a fancy word for parts. But there's another thing. There's the purpose. There's the why. You have feet so you can walk, but what good is walking? Why do you need to walk? Why did God want you to be able to walk? Well, we could say about that, that you have feet so that you can walk in God's ways. You have hands so that you can do God's work. You have ears so that you can hear God's word, and you have eyes so that you can see what God has done. How does that tie into Ephesians chapter 2? Well, why do you have a memory? Why is it possible for you to keep this command, remember? Well, what is the function of memory? The function of memory is to preserve the past. What are you doing when you're remembering? Well, you have in your mind something that used to be here, something that used to be now, and isn't anymore. It's gone, and it would be very much gone if you didn't remember it. Some things linger because they have effects. If you plant a seed and it turns into a tree, well, the time when you planted the seed is gone. The seed itself is gone, but the effect, the tree, is still here. But other things kind of disappear almost completely. Of course, God knows them. God keeps them in mind, and that way the past is never really gone. But for us, yesterday and the day before and last week and last year and last century, well, unless we have some memory, they don't influence us. They don't make a difference in our day-to-day life. Well, that's why God gave you memory, because you pass through time and God doesn't want you to lose what he's done for you before. God wants you to hang on to that. God wants you to keep that. And so this is the only command in all of Ephesians 1 through 3. Remember, you can't be a Christian without memory, without remembering what God has done. Obviously, I understand there are people who have experienced brain injury. There are people who have undergone dementia whose memory is gone or scrambled or etc. Obviously, God in his sovereign grace can intervene in those situations. But as a general rule, talking about people whose brains are working, you need memory. You need to remember what you've been told that God has done. You need to remember who Jesus is. You need to remember how to be saved. There's a lot of things to remember. And so this command stands out by the fact that it's the only one in this section. Remember. We must use our memories for God. We're supposed to serve God with everything that we have, with everything that we are, with our hands and our feet and our eyes and our ears and our mouths and so on and so forth. Well, memory isn't left out of that list. We are to serve God with our memory as well. How do we do that? We remember. Now, what is it that we're supposed to remember? Well, we are supposed to remember where or what we were, or as I put it in the bulletin, remember alienation. Paul has reminded his readers of these things, but he reminds them again to make sure they remember. He says, you were once Gentiles in the flesh. They were called uncircumcision. They were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. They had no hope, and they were without God in the world. He calls upon them to remember their alienation. In other words, remember where you started. Now, in order to understand all of this well, it's helpful to keep in mind that there's God's covenant, and God's covenant is administered. Now, sometimes people are included in the administration of the covenant, and yet they don't really belong to the substance of the covenant. But you don't belong to the substance of the covenant unless you're included in the administration. In other words, you could draw a little circle, and there's the covenant substance. You could draw a bigger circle around it. There's the covenant administration. So you could be in the covenant administration and not under the substance. But if you're in the substance, you're inside the circle of the administration. Now, why do I say all of that? And why do I say that it helps to understand? Well, think about what Paul is saying to them. He's saying to them that on the one hand, they were Gentiles. They were uncircumcised. In other words, they didn't belong to Israel. They were not part of the covenant people of God under the administration at that time. In our language, in contemporary language, we would say they were not part of the visible church. They were outside of the realm of Christianity. Of course, at the time that Paul is writing, that wasn't how people spoke yet, but that's how we would explain it. Now, they were lacking the covenant administration. They didn't have the sacraments. They didn't have circumcision specifically. They also didn't have Passover, but that kind of is understood. Now, that's not a good situation to be in. If you are outside of the covenant administration, what's true of you? Well, all of this is true of you. You're without Christ. You're aliens from the commonwealth. In other words, you're not citizens of the kingdom of God. There's a covenant of promise. Paul uses the plural covenants of promise because, of course, that covenant was made with Abraham, and it gets further specified under Moses, and it gets particularized a little bit more under David. So there's multiple times that God enters into a covenant, but he uses the singular. There's covenants of promise because there's one promise at the heart of all of the different additions or addendums to the covenant. And that promise is, I will be your God and the God of your children after you. That's the core promise. That's the promise that runs all through the Bible. God says, I will be your God. So that's the promise that binds all the different covenants together. That's why Paul uses singular and plural. There's a sense in which there's many, and yet they're all joined together. There's a sense in which there's only one, and yet there's a certain amount of diversity, a variety in how that gets administered. But if you're not part of the covenant administration, well, you're a stranger from all of that. You might overhear the promise, but the promise isn't directed to you unless you're part of the covenant administration. So what is Paul describing? Well, he's describing their life in heathenism, in paganism, in whatever of the varieties of religion that were floating around the Roman Empire at that time, these particular people in Ephesus took part in. We know from the book of Acts that a lot of people in Ephesus were very deeply into magic. So probably a lot of the people who read this letter for the first time, who heard it read out loud for the first time, had previously been practicing magicians. We know that in Ephesus, they made a big deal out of Diana or Artemis. They had a meteor that had fallen down, and so they assumed that the goddess Artemis sent this down to them. And so there was an enormous trade of making little silver images of Artemis. So we can probably assume that a lot of these people were Artemis worshipers in their previous lives. So between magic, and Artemis is related to magic, so you wouldn't have had to choose. Like, you could have been both a magician and an Artemis worshiper. Paul wants them to remember that. And you may think, hold on a moment. Don't you want to forget all of that? Isn't that like a bad dream? Isn't that like a nightmare? Why do I want to remember alienation? Why do I remember when I used to be dead in trespasses and sins? I'd like to forget that. Thank you very much. Well, that's a good question. Why do we need to remember? Why does Paul remind them of that when he says remember? Well, I think we can give at least two reasons. Maybe there's more, but we can give at least two. One is the contrast. You know, a diamond sparkles when you put it on, when there's light, but when you put it on a dark cloth. People like to have black or blue velvet behind a diamond for a reason. It offsets the diamond. It lets you see the diamond more clearly. Well, in the same way, the light of God's grace, the glory of God's love, the wonder of God's mercy, we appreciate it better when we remember where we were when it reached us, when we remember what kind of people we were. So for the sake of gratitude, for the sake of appreciation, Paul says, remember what you were. Remember your alienation. But there's another reason as well. We can have a tendency, we get full, we get content, we get happy, and we start to give ourselves the credit. Maybe you've run into this, you know, there's a Christian you've known and they're studying, they're growing. They come to new convictions and all of a sudden they're like, well, I don't see how somebody could be a Christian and not think this. And it's like, dude, that was you 2 months ago. Like, you just learned this. And now all of a sudden you're saying, well, nobody who doesn't know this could possibly be a Christian. Like, come on. It's good that you've learned this, but be reasonable. God brought you along slowly, right? Well, God can do the same thing with other people. Not everybody has attained the same staggering height that you have. And that's okay. But what's embedded in an attitude like that? Well, you've forgotten where you were. And so now you're complacent. You're self-satisfied. You're congratulating yourself. God in Deuteronomy warned the people of Israel that when they were settled, when they were prosperous, when they were secure, they would face the temptation to forget God and to say that their hand, their arm, had accomplished all of this stuff for them. They would look over their fields and flocks and everything and say, look at what I've done through my hard work. And they would forget that it was God who had given it all to them. They would forget that they had been slaves in the land of Egypt and God brought them out of that and brought them into the promised land and gave it to them. Well, we can do the same thing. We can say, well, I have God's grace. I'm forgiven. I'm headed for heaven. I have all these wonderful things. I must be really great. Well, that's not really great if we do that. So remember your alienation. Remember where you came from. Remember what you were. You'll appreciate God's grace more, and it will help to keep you humble. So those are two very good reasons to remember your alienation. And you know, an easy way to do that is just to give God thanks for what he has done, for how he's brought you from where you were a year ago, 10 years ago, when you were a kid. Just give thanks for those things. And you're remembering your alienation. You're using your memory to serve God. But we also need to look at the reality that he calls them to remember their exclusion. He kind of rubs it in. When you were without Christ, what was also true? Well, you were aliens, you were strangers, you had no hope, you were without God in the world. He calls upon them to remember how bad the situation was. Being outside of the covenant administration, they didn't have any of the covenant benefits. But the biggest problem, the deeper problem, was without Christ, of course, ultimately, they had nothing. They didn't even have hope. They had no access to God. Now, that, of course, describes, up to this day, people who are outside of the covenants of promise, people who are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. No Christ, no hope, no God. Jesus said as much, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or he put it more positively when he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. If you deny the Son, according to 1 John, you can't have the Father either. So this is absolutely central. This is critical. Without Christ, what is there? What good news? What hope? What relationship with God can be had? The answer is there is none. Christ is central. If you're here this morning and you're not joined to Christ by faith, This is still a description of you, even though you're in the covenant administration, even though you're clearly at church, you're clearly participating on some level. But if that's it, if you're just in the administration, if you don't have the substance, if you haven't personally come to faith in Christ, then in terms of what really matters, you're still without hope and without God in the world. Now, of course, you have to have the covenant administration. That's how people get brought into the substance. You have to have the preaching. You have to have the discipleship. You have to have those other things. And of course, people need to come in under that. People need to hear that who still haven't personally been united to Christ by faith. That's not a problem. But you don't want people to stop with the outside, with the administration. You don't want them, in our language, to be part of the visible church and not part of the invisible church. You don't want them to be in the church and yet not be joined to Christ. That's a disaster as well, because it's not the administration of the covenant. It's Christ, the mediator of the covenant, who's at the heart of everything. So we need to remember where we were, what we were. We need to remember what makes the difference, or better, who makes the difference. Fundamentally, the whole transformation is Christ. Paul is writing to Ephesians. They're still uncircumcised. They're still being called uncircumcised by the Jewish people. And yet, they've been made near. What was the point of transformation? What was the bridge? What brought them in? What changed their status? It was all Christ. It was Jesus. And so Paul calls upon us, upon them, also to remember reconciliation. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. If you only remembered what you were, if you only remembered who you'd been, that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be enough. You need to remember also the old story of Jesus and his love. You need to remember that what you used to be is not what you are, that where you once lived is not where you live anymore. You need to remember that you've been brought within the administration of the covenant. But more than that, you need to remember that you've been brought near. Near to whom? Near to what? Well, Paul is going to explain that a little bit more further on. So you've been brought near to all the true people of God. He'll talk about that. You've been brought near to God himself. Verse 18, through him, through Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit. And to whom do we have access? To the Father. So there's the contrast. You were without God, and that's the word from which we get the word atheist. You were without God in the world, but now you've been brought near. And you've been brought near by Christ, and even more specifically than that, by the blood of Christ. And it's important to remember that element as well. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can open the way for you to come to God, for you to have hope? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because Paul has already explained, so he doesn't go over it all here, but why were you alienated? Why were you excluded? Because of sin. And what is the sacrifice to take away sin? The sacrifice of Christ. So Christ is absolutely central here. Remember who you were, yes, but remember who you are in Christ. Remember what Christ has done. That's using your memory to serve God. Remember not just half of it. Remember the whole contrast, where you were, who you were, and now what is true of you in Christ. That's what you should remember. Sometimes we forget that, and we lose our motivation. We don't desire to serve God. We aren't abundant in good works. I'm not saying this is the only reason, but this is one of the big reasons we can get a sort of gospel amnesia. We forget who we are in Christ. We forget what Christ has done for us. Is it any wonder then that our walk with the Lord suffers? Is it any wonder that our service suffers when we forget? This command to remember is important. It's you can't just say, well, I won't remember and I'll still be okay. No, you won't. It's here for a reason. So what are we going to do with all of this? Well, hopefully the first application is extremely obvious. Remember. If you want to remember something else, what do? Well, you might write it down. You might put a reminder on your phone. You might go over your to-do list so that you don't skip anything. You might ask somebody to help you. Well, guess what? You've got all of those resources. How do you remember who you were and what Christ has done for you? Well, read your Bible. There's one. How do you remember? Well, come to church. Hear about it. Be reminded of the old story. How do you remember? Well, we remember in the Lord's Supper. Make sure that you are diligently attending communion services and make sure that you're preparing for them as well. Remember. Read, review, write it down, talk it over with other people, set up reminders, sign up for an email to be sent to you every day with a verse and a devotional or whatever. Remember. There's different ways to do it, but make sure you are remembering. And then, of course, give thanks, marvel, wonder, praise. What were we? Well, we also were Gentiles. We were aliens. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And yet we've been made near. Oh, of course, the response to that is to praise and thank and glorify God. And then you can also think about people who are still in this condition. People whose lives are hopeless and godless because they are Christless. You have the answer. You know what they need. Many of them do not. Well, then, be alert to opportunities to tell them, to remind them if they've heard before, to show them from God's word what they need. Without Christ, you are without hope. Without Christ, whatever religion you may practice, you're still without God. Sometimes people get upset if you say things like that. Look, I'm not saying it because I want it to be true. I'm saying it because the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say it. So it is true. It's true whether I like it or not. It's true whether you like it or not. I'm not saying it to be mean, but it's the reality. Without Christ, you are without God and without hope in the world. And then finally, just a summons here. You know, everybody who's here this morning is included in the covenant administration. We're attending church. We've been baptized and so forth. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. Don't turn that into the source of your assurance. The circumcision, who were in the administration of the covenant, were broken off because of unbelief. It's not enough to be in the administration. You have to come to the substance. Don't settle on, well, I was baptized. Don't settle on, well, I go to church. Don't settle on, well, I participate in this or that way or the other. Come to Christ. Don't stop short of Christ. Being in the administration of the covenant and yet not being joined to Christ will ultimately only increase your condemnation, because you heard the promises. They were directed to you. You had the advantages and yet you didn't use them. What a disaster. May God free us all from that.